daher.
Yes, the hair. We're continuing with part three of Kathy's interview, and she's sharing with us more of her experiences and the different businesses and projects that she's worked on and how she does it. So stay tuned.
The hair. Because most of the times we notice that for us, when we go to the African salons, if you don't have your own attachments, it will be more expensive because they have to charge your attachments and all. And then I always have like people coming from Uganda and they all have like free kilos. So I'm like, why don't I make use of these kilos or I buy from them? Or whenever I would go home every year actually, back with my own hair. And people would ask me, do you have extra? Do you have extra? And I'm like, no, because if I saw what I had, I would still pay more to make. And I was like, can't I really bring? Because there is no competition to have the university area. But when you go to town, then there will be some African salons who have their own attachments. But then the students at ABAC, actually, they make their own hair, but they don't have attachments, most of them, and they rarely go home. So, okay, let me bring the expression first. When I wrote, and all of them were like, oh, Tupi, you have hair, you have extra hair. But, so that's how they said, buy it for me. Actually, when I now have
people now know that I do sell hair, and most of my friends who make hair, they're like, okay, we are not going to buy from Platinum. That place is called Platinum for like African salons in Bangkok. When you come, you can check it out. So instead of going there, that cycle is like around 40 minutes from here. They would prefer to buy from here at a cheaper price. Then for the trading, yeah, the kilos. So there are friends here who want to sell, to send stuff home, but they rarely go home. Most of the streets actually rarely go home. So I was like, okay, you guys, you can buy your things, and I send them Uganda at a fair price. So I have already people come, and then they have some cages. And then also when they are going, most of them use the traders mainly. They ship their things. So they kind of like have free kilos on the plane. So I'll tell them, okay, sell to me that kilo like at around $3 to $5. Then I sell to my friends at around $8.
Okay, so let me break down the genius of this idea. Well, so she gets contacts with traders that are coming to Thailand to trade. Takes them around, shows them where to buy, shows them where the best deals are, helps them out. And once they finish buying, they ship all their things by cargo to the countries where they're coming from. So they're going back with, you know, just handbags, but they still have that complimentary luggage that, you know, the airlines give. And it's basically not being used for anything since they've already shipped everything. And now she also has students or clients or people and friends that want to send things home but can't really afford to pay for cargo shipping. So she buys the space from the traders she's just made business with and sells that space to the friends and the students and the clients that want to ship things. So basically combining two things at once, you know, like that was really cool. Amazing.
That's how the whole thing came up. And then my friends too in Uganda, they would go, oh, leave me with your bag, leave me with your handbag, give me your phone, leave me with your earrings, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you are salary and why don't you bring money? And I'm like, bags. You're empty whenever I come. So I'm like, oh, okay, a good idea. Because those people, like, when you live abroad, when you go home, they'll be like, give me this, leave me with this. I'm like, towards 1 week to going home, I'll make an announcement on Facebook and tell them to send money and what they want from here. So that when I go home, they don't disturb me, like they don't take stuff from me. So that's how that whole thing started too. That's like occasionally when I'm going home or when I have somebody going to travel and they have extra space, I can help my friends to shop. And actually that when I'm in Uganda, when I go home too, I'm not just roaming around and sleeping and I attack the office guys because most office workers, they fear shopping, like they fear going downtown or whatever to shop. But they do have the money. So I tell them, you guys, I bought some bags. Actually, most of the times, I think of some stuff that they would love, because what I sell is what I love. The trick is, whenever you sell something, make sure like you like it, like you use it personally, so then the other person will also love it.
So let me ask you this: what do you? Well, how many things at one time do you do at one point? Like how many things are you able? Or what's the maximum number of things you've been able to combine?
Mom, I don't think I even have any limit, because I don't think we are limited. So it's overwhelming, and I'm really, you know, I'll distribute to somebody else, but I cannot let any opportunity slip. That's me. Or I can tell them that, okay, give within, for example, now I have a project about, because actually most of these people want to invest in Uganda or in Africa, but they are afraid because they have never been there, so they would love to deal with somebody they trust. So I have that one at hand, and I cannot refuse it. So I'm like, okay. So I've just split my time during that day, and I'm like, 1 hour I give it to this one. 1 hour I give it to this one. So, but the thing is, maximum, I don't think so, unless when I'm really sick or when I'm ill, but I don't really have a maximum. It has its own advantages and disadvantages, but you have to, like, you know, you have to make sure you're ready for it. Everything is important. That's what I think. And that's what I believe. So I would rather give it my all and fail, other than saying no to somebody before I even try.
Wow. So let's go back to the real estate, right? The way it started so magically, and all the money that you're making. How did you? Have you managed? Because since you're improving, right? Every day you're becoming better. How do you manage your money? Because you said you started making more money than you had ever seen in your life. So how do you?
Good question. Unfortunately, after my bachelor's and when I went to work, I told you guys that I got a full-time job. So after my bachelor's, let me first take you back. I got a full-time job, 8 a.m. Yeah, and I wouldn't do the real estate. That's when also the real estate picked up, and I would be like, oh my god, I need to go and make a VIN, but I cannot escape from office. So I would sacrifice some of my lunch hours to go and, so I can balance things. And with work, you have to concentrate. If they find out you're doing something else, that would be something. Uh-huh. So the money started accumulating. Then I was like, okay, so if I'm in two full time, if I quit now, I can be able to make more money here. Actually, I would even make my salary within a day. So I'll be like, somehow, like, I'm wasting time here, but then I'm committed. So I told them, you guys, I'm going back for my master. So let me go. So that's how I managed to, you know, escape politely. Then I went, I did the real estate for a full, like, 7 months before they called me back. My university for a master degree. Because they were looking for the old students who performed well, and they were giving them people. So let me go for this one instead of being idle. Because the problem with real estate, it's not like all the time you have some extra time. And remember, I told you I need to really be productive. I don't want to be there. And so when I quit the real full-time job and started doing real estate, I used to pay my tuition, because 50% means 50% just the tuition, but then you have the university fee, then you have accommodation, expense. Literally, I've been using the real estate money to, you know, sustain myself for the past 3 years. But on top of that, I know that out of your work is how much you have in savings. So the savings I've managed to do, be able to, like, take family back home. We had some loans and all, and also to buy a plot of land, and also some houses for rentals, because for me, I believe in passive income. Uh-huh. Everyone has their own approach or their way of living, but for me personally, this real estate thing has really made me, like, go crazy, because right now I'm not of the perspective of going to work every day or doing the hard job for something little. But I respect that too. But for me, I'm maybe aiming something like into passive income or something that doesn't really need me to be there, because I believe I'm going to be international, so I don't want anything that's going to tie me down.
No, on this podcast, you're already international. The fact that you're featuring on this podcast, you're already international.
That's right.
Okay, so I have another question, right? Yes. You talked about the fact that the trading business, working with traders that would come to Thailand to trade. How did that start? How did you get in touch with those?
Okay, so officially we are into trading, my family. So already we had the connections, people coming to what? To Thailand, stuff, because also us before we're buying stuff from here. And then, you know, when you're in that sort of like environment, you get to know other people who are coming. And everyone was like, oh, from Thailand, can you help us get this? And most of them, especially the, I forgot another business that I usually do it. Airline ticketing and, because most of those buses don't have time.
Uh-huh.
And so I help them book like tickets and arrange their traveling and all that stuff. Yeah, so that's how I got to know. And then, you know, when you're Ugandan and you're in Thailand, they'll be wanting to know who is in Thailand, stuff like, somehow you get to know them. Some of them even contact me on Facebook. Others are like, oh, this one, give me your number. Can you help me when I come? I'm coming in this month. Are you free around, you know? It's like word of mouth or recommendations. Like when you do good and somebody appreciates you, then they'll tell others. It's like a community. So that's how they
do it. So what are some of your... like maybe work principles that you've learned along the way that have helped you to at least gain some level of success? What are some of the points that you live by that say, if I do this, I'm going to get a good result?
Speed of delivery, and it has really worked for me, because I know that when, for example, a new estate, it's not only me who is the agent there, and all the clients have the freedom to contact as many companies. So this thing has told me a lot that the faster you are, the better chance you have of closing a deal.
Uh-huh.
For me, when it impacts me or what, I act very fast. Even if I don't have something, I will be like, I'm checking now, can you hold on a bit? Something like that.
Uh-huh.
So number one, of delivery, and then being truthful. Like, you don't lie. If you don't have anything, just say, I don't have at the moment, but let me look it up for you. And also having that perspective of like, if it were me, would I love this?
Uh-huh.
Something, putting it like being in that person's shoes. For example, now like I need the money, I can hike the ticket price, but I'm like, okay, this person is really coming to trade. Maybe they have a loan or what.
Uh-huh.
So it's not free. It's like, if it would be like, be happy, because you never know. And also another thing is, respect everyone. Not like, do not like undermine anyone, because even if that person doesn't have the capability now, but they might tell somebody else, you know, if they're not happy, what can I change? And also having the feedback from my clients, like follow up and be like, hi, is it working fine for you? Is it what you expected? It's not just about money or closing that deal. So I feel like also like having a long-term relationship with your clients and customers and checking on them. Don't talk to them only when they want something. Speed of delivery, and also praying to God. Actually, I do pray to God to send me.
And does it work? Does praying to God work?
Of course. There's a point where you're like, oh my God, you think I'm going to cross? Like, a client, a room in an apartment. When you go down, another agent is going to another room in the same apartment with the same client. 4 hours later, they're going to see like 5 other rooms. Sometimes I believe all wealth comes from God, especially when you abide by the rule of like tithe and helping the poor. So I believe that really, by the time I started, let me tell you, every year my like drastically increased. That's the truth. Because even you call tipping is very nice, actually, you guys. Whatever you do or whatever money you earn, make sure you keep, like, you put it down in some maybe Excel sheet or something so that you can track your progress. So for me, when I say I do estate in 2016, 2017, and now 2018, that's been increasing. So when you apply the principles, you give God what belongs to Him, just that 10%.
Wow, for today, that's it. We have to end here. Bye. For those of you listening in real time, today, the 31st of March, is Brother and Sister Day. So happy Brothers and Sister Day. Happy Brothers and Sister Day, Ivy. And also today is National She's Funny That Way Day. So if you know somebody who's funny some way, you should wish them a happy Funny That Way Day. And interestingly enough, it's also National Bunsen Banner Day. So yeah. for all of you people that use Bunsen burners. Yeah. All right, and it's also National Crayon Day. I don't know which nation this is that celebrates all these days, but if you're from that nation, then happy Crayon Day to you too. All right, we also have some more good news. Our podcast is now available on Pocket Casts. It will soon be available on Spotify. We are available on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spreaker, and on our website www.studententrepreneur.com. So check it out, leave a review, share, like, comment. Talk to you on the next one. Be great.